KPCA LP, Petaluma, California. To Inside Petaluma. I'm Cindy Thomas, co-hosting with Janice Peterson and Jason Davies.
Good morning, Petaluma.
Good morning.
Hello. Happy Friday.
Good morning.
Happy Friday.
We're too happy.
Yeah. We also have in here with us this morning Jenny Bellway, who is our executive director here at Petaluma Community Access. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning.
And kind of just right off the bat so she can participate in the banter.
What are we going to banter about?
There's all kinds of stuff to banter about.
Well, right off the top, I'd just like to say I'm very happy that we got funding for dredging of our river. That's kind of a cool thing.
That is a very cool thing.
It's been how many years?
It's been like 17 years since the full dredge.
It's supposed to happen every 4 years.
Well, when we had commerce, that's what happened.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I want a big shout out to Jared Huffman for getting this going.
And I'd also like to say that Mayor Teresa Barrett, with her pledge and all her efforts, pledged to dredge. I think that it all worked out. It's a good thing.
It is a very good
kind
thing.
Kind of a surprise ending since we were told that it was not going to happen.
Well, and it's interesting because Kathy Miller said that it was not going to happen.
Oh.
And so I'm really glad that she wasn't in the know.
And that she doesn't get to take any credit.
Well, exactly. Oh, she will.
Well, it makes me wonder, I mean, we could have had other mayors doing this pledge. Would that have made a difference earlier? I don't know.
It seems very well. I don't know if it was the pledge or what it was, but I think it was it was timing, and they probably had a second round of funding, and it just slipped right into that funding is what probably really happened. Yeah. But that's because Jared was there really pushing it, and so I'm really glad.
It's my understanding that he sort of stepped in at the last minute and made it happen, correct?
Well, it's typically always happens with with our congressman begging for it. And he'd been begging for a while, so I don't know if there was anything new, any new begging that he did. But
some money came up, and it freed it up to come into this project. And the long term is, what are you going to do for the future? And you need to start thinking today about dredging in the future and how the city's going to be doing this, because federal funding may not happen again.
Now, I don't know if this is the case. I'm totally speculating. But there was speculation that one of the reasons it was being held up was political. Because the Trump administration has not been super happy with California, because we've been standing up for, good values and the law and Constitution, things like that, which Trump doesn't like. And so Huffman had actually said that he suspected that politics was one of the reasons that the funding wasn't happening. I'm wondering if politics is one of the reasons it is happening now, because obviously we're getting close to the election, and maybe there's some thinking on the part of the Trump team that if they dole out some money to these places, it's going to have an impact. I don't know.
They actually had extra money, and with amongst themselves, the Republicans and Democrats worked together, and they made the deal. It has nothing to do with Trump. If one person wanted something, so somebody else gave.
Well, I only say that
the way politics.
I only say that because Huffman is on the record suggesting that the reason it was not happening was because of Trump. So I'm just saying,
did that have anything to do with it?
Well, I'm just saying that when presidents try to run for re-election, they try to have things they can point to. You know, I don't think this specific thing is going to be
California, that's going to get
funding for infrastructure. Anyway, who knows? But we're just glad
about
it.
We're
happy it's happening, and it means that we're going to have more recreational opportunities. Larger boats can come in. We can have
the drawbridge is going to go up.
The lighted boat parade. We didn't have that this year.
That might not mind it coming up, but I mean, I think they really do need to look at the bridge going up because of the smart train. Traffic and what's going on, and maybe that can happen. But speaking of that, I was at a Sonoma County Transportation Authority meeting on Monday, and they're kind of going over what every city is asking for this extension of a road tax.
Yeah.
And, you know, all these other cities are asking, like, bike paths. They want safe sidewalks. They yeah. want smooth streets. And Petaluma's top of the list is about $140 million, and it's for a Rainier interchange and crosstown connector. Yet there's no environmental impact for an interchange.
Mm.
And Kathy Miller is saying, and John Burns in the Argus Courier, that mm-hmm. the money's going to go to fix the streets like in front of our house, our potholes.
Mm.
None of the list is about the street in front of our homes.
Mm.
It's all developer projects. And it's just, it's the craziest list you've ever seen.
And, of course, the sidewalks in front of our homes, that's
those are our responsibility. Right. But there's no stuff for ADA in there.
No.
And so it's really a developer's dream to have us pass this. And so don't expect the street in front of your house to be.
So wait a minute. You're saying, what are you saying then? That we shouldn't vote for this tax measure?
I'm saying that it's going to be interesting to see what ends up moving forward on this tax measure.
Mm-hmm.
Because if all the other cities such as Windsor and Healdsburg and Sonoma are getting a little bit of money
mm-hmm.
for projects, and Petaluma is getting, they have probably about $300 million of projects on their eight lists,
mm-hmm.
their lists. One of the projects that is missing is undergrounding utility lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I always talk about from the D Street Bridge yeah. to Lakeville, that whole section where the stationary plant is going to go by the smart train. Those utility lines are making it that you can't widen the street to take, like, curves out to make it safer for bikes and pedestrians, cars and trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do that. But that is the stuff that's missing from the wish list. So it's a developer's wish list, not a community wish
mm-hmm.
list. And so I think it's something people really need to look at. And even though we have a majority on a council that is ruling the roost at Petaluma,
yeah.
we have three council members that have a voice, and I want to hear their voice. I want to see what they're going to say about this list
mm-hmm.
and not go ahead and just kowtow because they have four votes. We have a voice.
Yeah.
And I want our council to start using that voice. As we're going to be talking about the Corona Lomas project is coming forward, they're looking at that as just a little pie of a development, and they're not looking at the surrounding traffic impact.
You're talking about the area that we
exactly, for the smart station.
Yeah, try walking yeah. from that area to any store.
Beyond the Glory,
yeah.
or how about to Lombardi's,
yeah.
Which is on Petaluma Boulevard. It's
yeah.
all unsafe, and three council members have a voice, and I want to hear that voice
yeah.
because that's how you get things on a list, not by being silent or being saying, oh, well, I'm not a majority.
All I know is that I've never lived somewhere that had roads and sidewalks this horrible. They're atrocious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't understand why that's not at the top of the list.
Well, in downtown, I mean, I watched when the redevelopment, when they did an overlay of the sidewalks. And this is one reason why I'm not always a proponent of redevelopment, because of the abuse of it. Because so much could have really gotten done with that money, but it ended up going into $10 million into one developer's pocket. So,
yeah.
So,
well, it is happening in little patches here and there. There has been some improvement. There's a lot going on right now on B Street, but that's a sewer replacement.
That's a sewer.
But there was a whole repaving that happened. I'm trying to remember if that was 6th Street or a couple of the streets. But, yeah.
Well, they're doing a lot of ADA
yeah.
downtown, and the reason
yeah.
they're doing it is because the city was sued.
Yeah.
And there is a list that they have to actually complete within 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an ADA problem because somebody at City Hall was not doing the inspections correctly, and when they were looking at all the plans for the downtown theater district, they left out ADA.
Yeah.
So what happened was we gave $10 million to a developer, and now the city got sued for ADA. So that's why all those curb cuts are happening. It's not happening because the city wanted to do it. They were forced to do it. And that kind of brings me to the same with the Corona area. These are ADA problems. You're blocking people from access. And so does it take a lawsuit for this city council majority to listen? And apparently it does.
So you don't think there's a problem with somebody in a wheelchair going from the east side?
Over Corona?
No, down to Beyond the Glory.
Well, there too. I've seen
exactly.
There's a guy that actually, I don't know who he is, but people know who he is.
Yeah, and he's always crossing that
Corona. And I saw him one night at 8 o'clock at night, and I thought, oh, my God, are you okay?
With no reflectors or lights.
No reflectors. And I actually got a – you could see him in a picture going up. It was frightening. And the city council – majority and minority are silent on the Corona overcrossing built in 1956.
Anyway.
Oh, well, I wasn't sure what I was going to talk about today, and I want to thank you for bringing these subjects up,
okay.
People.
Yeah, we knew you weren't going to talk about that.
Hey, it's Happy Valentine's Day, by the way.
Oh, happy, that's right. Thank you. Oh, my cousin Danny sent me something. Oh, my cousin Danny Cater, I just love him.
Yeah. So we have Jenny Bellway with us. Jenny is a new addition to Petaluma Community Access, just recently hired as the executive director, and still getting your feet wet, right, Jenny?
I am indeed.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah. Congratulations.
I cannot say enough good things about the staff here, that's for certain.
Yeah, we do have
great staff. They are
tremendous. Yeah, we do. We don't have a lot of staff, but what we do have is stellar.
They're incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you mentioned that of all the places that you've lived, you've never seen a place with such a mess of roads and sidewalks. How long have you been here in Petaluma?
3.5 years.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Where did you come from?
From Marin.
Yeah.
Which is where I grew up, and then I was there for 10 years with my 3 kids. We lived down the street from my parents, and... it was great there, but I like it here. This has been a very good fit for my family.
Yeah.
Where in Marin?
Ross and Kentfield.
Really?
Yes.
So where did you go to school down there?
I went to Ross School in Redwood, and then I ended up going to boarding school the last couple of years.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. I do want to mention something because you talked about streets, just as a comparison from Marin County to Sonoma County. Sonoma County has about 1,800 miles of streets, of roads.
Hmm.
Marin County is about 400 or 450. And so that's why you'll see down in other areas with less of a grid, they get their road work done.
Yeah.
And that is a real negative when you have such a large, vast county.
Absolutely.
And, and I'm just bringing that up.
I feel like the pothole issue tends to be more Petaluma-specific, is my experience.
That's candidates in the past that have made that the big issue.
And John Burns.
The pothole capital of the world.
Yeah. But it only comes up with if it's candidates they don't like. But otherwise, then our streets are fine.
Yeah,
this is going to be an interesting election year.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting election year to see that if there's going to be any candidate photographed next to a pothole for a campaign.
Or put a flower
like
in it.
Has
exactly.
In the past.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, Mike Healy's been on the council since 1998. Maybe he can help us out.
That's a great idea, though. I mean, just have this image of a pothole with the face of the candidate inside the pothole.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yes. I'm guessing there's not one reason why the potholes don't end up actually getting filled, correct? I mean, it's not just...
it's money.
Actually, the city does have a pothole machine.
That's interesting. Oh, that one neighborhood where the neighbors filled the potholes with potted plants and had flowers.
This is a brilliant idea.
The problem is there's been... they've deferred so much of the maintenance over so many years because of budget issues. Okay. It's crumbling faster than it can be fixed. And it's very old infrastructure that we have, particularly on the west side. And it's a huge problem. It's like, I can't even remember the figure, but back when I was running for council, I remember going to the meeting and getting briefed on this stuff. And it's a huge expense, and it's constant. And we've been doing just bare minimum maintenance. It's not enough.
Well, it's amazing how all of a sudden when you got sued, you're getting all this work done in downtown.
Yeah.
So you do kind of question about the money.
Yeah.
I do know the gas tax and the vehicle license fee. Mm-hmm. I'm sure all of that money is going into that. The city's only looking at really major roads, and that kind of goes back to the extension of the road tax.
Yeah.
We want the roads in front of our house fixed,
right.
not roads... new roads for developers so they don't have to pay, we pay. Because what we calculated out, it might be about $8,000 per person.
Yeah.
So you have a family of four, it's $8,000 per person for what the city of Petaluma has on their list.
I mean, it's kind of funny because a lot of the county roads, I've noticed, are fixed. And then once you get into Petaluma, it's bad. Like I Street's a perfect example. You'll take I Street, and it was terrible for a while, and it's still not perfect, but they did a lot of repair.
Well, the county put $12 million into roads.
And then you get to Petaluma, and then it's, messed up again.
I mean, it's two different, animals and two different pots of money, and that's why it's important to know. You know, like, you know, here's the sign you're going to Marin County. It's really different than the sign coming into Sonoma County or Petaluma versus Windsor. And, you know, all the other cities, so.
So, Jenny, a little bit about you. Do you have experience in radio?
I do. I've consulted for different radio stations and newspapers. It tends to be local media that I prefer and enjoy and want to support. I think that it's crucial, especially right now. I think it's really, really important. People have this barrage of giant news stations and corporate media companies, and that's not necessarily what's actually happening in their community, and so they get turned off and then they shut down, and that's not what people need to be doing right now. They need to keep aware and keep on top of things and keep their knowledge up to date, because we're at kind of what I see as a very crucial time for this country, to say the least, and I think that local media actually reminds people that they have a voice, there's a voice around them that's actually giving them factual information and keeping them a part of the conversation. And so that tends to be the thing that I enjoy and want to support the most.
So you worked for Pacific Sun, I see.
I did, yes.
And
before they were bought by the Bohemian.
Okay. Cool. And then what did you study in school?
English.
Ah.
I'm an English major.
Okay.
I was going to be a writer, and then I had a bunch of kids.
You know what? I remember when I was in college and I took a writing class, what this instructor told us is that you're always a writer. It's just a matter of whether you're actually doing it at the time. So once a writer, always a writer.
And I do write. I have a former professor that I send short stories to occasionally, but that's just sort of, you know, underground in my own private life at this point.
Any of them published?
No.
Yeah.
So since you've been executive director, are you connecting with service groups, or what are you doing as far as connecting?
Yes, I am trying to introduce myself to as many people in Petaluma as possible right now. I've become active with the Women's Club, which I am a huge supporter of. I think they do some amazing things, especially with their volunteer work, and the Chamber as well. I'm going to be on the Women in Business Committee now, as well as going and attending events. I'm hoping to speak at one of their events soon. I know that they're expanding. I think it's a really integral part of the Chamber to have that forum for women business owners and people who are in business in the community to have that opportunity to connect with other women. And I would encourage anyone to become a part of it, or even attend the breakfast and soon to be lunches, I think. So
keep us informed, because I'd like to come hear you.
So maybe just so our listeners have a better understanding, what's your gig here at PCA? What do you do? What's it entail?
My goal is to have the majority of what I do be fundraising. We need sponsors. We need more members, more programmers. We need underwriting, things that will help to increase what we have available for people in the community, and also just to get more people active. I think that people aren't necessarily aware that we're here to some extent, and now that the radio station is here and cranking and has incredible programming, I would love to have more people listening and more people coming and touring the station and having an interest in hearing about what we do and what we can offer them.
So more outreach.
More outreach.
Sponsors, members.
Outreach is my key.
Is it possible
push.
With the city, since the city supports us, can we get information in, like, the utility bills? Is that possible?
That's a really good idea.
Just to say, you know, that we have a local access channel, and if you want to hear about local issues, you can tune in to 103.3, and how you can get more information to become members. Or to reach out. I'm not sure.
You mean like on a cable bill, or you're just talking about the city's utility bill?
Utility bill.
Oh.
Because sometimes they'll go ahead and they'll put
little message there.
Messages in there, and I'm wondering, because of the connection with PCA.
We've talked about, the board of directors has talked about having messages included with the water bill.
Yeah, so that would be a good one. Everybody gets a water bill.
I've never moved on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would be interesting to see if it's something that can happen.
Yeah. I've been sitting down with the staff a lot and just brainstorming ways that we can get our name out, and I'm hoping to start doing that with the members as well at the member committees, and just my door is always open to anyone who has, you know, constructive criticism or suggestions or things that they can offer, you know, ways that we can just become more entrenched in Petaluma and have more people be actively using the things that we have here for them, because they're really, really valuable. They give people the opportunity to put their voice out there in ways that they wouldn't otherwise have. And I think that that's really, really, really exciting that people have that opportunity. And once they hear about it, I know they're going to use it.
Yeah, for those who don't know, PCA has radio, of course, because we're on the radio right now. But also lots of video equipment and editing stations, so people can produce their own shows. Obviously, you can do that on your own with your phone and your, you know, video software, but probably not on the level of what you can do with the tools we have here. So people, if you sign up as a member, you can check out really high-end cameras, tripods, and got microphones, all the good stuff, and then full editing stations. So, becoming a PCA member not only can allow you to have your own radio show if you want, but you can produce your own videos.
I would encourage anyone in Petaluma to come down here and just see what we have. There's so much here that I haven't even been able to figure all of it out yet, because there is so much, and there's something for everybody, whether it be radio or video.
Right.
Or both.
Our operations manager, Jeff Trier, is currently working on a project to take your radio show and we have a camera here in the studio, and you can also broadcast on one of the TV channels while you're doing your radio show.
We could be doing that right now. There's a camera right over there. But for some reason, it's pointed against the wall.
Yeah, well, that means we can't come to work in our pajamas anymore.
No, I mean, there's filters. So you can just dress how you want, and it'll just make it look like you're wearing a suit.
Well, it's just big wall right here, a green screen.
We have the technology.
Yes, we do.
There's a lot to offer here.
Yeah. Cindy, you're on the board, executive board.
Yes.
So how do you guys interface together on a regular basis? What's your connection?
Well, Jenny reports to the board of directors, so, I don't like to wear a boss hat, but I guess I'm a boss in that sense. But we don't really do hats here at PCA. Everybody works together, nobody has to be really told what to do. Everybody knows what they have to do, and it's just a matter of managing things. So, you know, we have to have the executive director. We have to have the board of directors. And so, it's – John Bertucci used to call it a family, and I used to always have to remind him, this is a business, but, it is – it's a very close-knit staff. Everybody takes care of each other here.
That's good. And how's the relationship with the city?
Yeah. We have a good relationship with the city. Nice. I'd like to think so, being that our first memo of understanding that we had with the city, I can't remember what year, was a 5-year contract, and we've had numerous extensions, and we are currently in an extension that will expire in the end of this year, December of 2020. And at that time, if I'm still the board chair, I will sit down and renegotiate another extension with Peggy Flynn, who is the spokesperson for the city of Petaluma. So hopefully we're doing a good enough job that they're going to want to, give us another 5 years.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So you said you have kids. So what's your family?
I have three boys. They are 13, 16, and 19. One is at Petaluma Junior High, one is at St. Vincent's, and one just graduated from St. Vincent's.
Very nice.
And goes to JC.
Oh, that's great.
All boys.
At the JC every Wednesday, I've been registering students for voting.
Very nice.
Yeah. That's good.
So it's good. This is our last time, because if people want to register, they need to register by the 18th.
Yeah.
And but otherwise, they can vote on voting day, but it would be a provisional ballot.
Right.
And then we're going to start up again with registering. But it's really interesting talking to the students, because we're sitting there you know, registering, but, you know, you're kind of saying, what are you doing? Where do you want to go? And it's interesting, the nursing students, hygiene students, and I was a dental hygienist, and just political science. I mean, there was a real diversity. There's a lot of diversity, actually, in the Petaluma campus versus the community. You see a lot more diversity there. And it's a great resource for us. And that's I think it's wonderful that your kids are starting at the JC and then they'll eventually move on.
Yeah, and my oldest son is so excited to vote in this election. He's
great.
He's really, really, really looking forward to it. It makes him feel like he has a voice, and I think his friends feel similarly. And it's exciting to see these young people who have a passion and an energy right now about ensuring that they have a future.
What do they think of your new position in Petaluma Community Access? What is their knowledge of it? Or
my kids are always very interested in anything I do. My oldest son is actually the newest Access assistant here. So
cool.
Jack, he can't say enough good things. He's just so excited about that as well. He thinks this is a huge opportunity to be able to be a part of this and to be able to do his own things here and be a member. And my youngest son walks here every day from Petaluma Junior High, and he was disappointed today because I wasn't going to be here and he was going to get picked up because he thinks it's really, really interesting and there's so much to look at here and hear about and learn about. And so it's a cool place. Their mom works.
Yeah. Yeah. They got a cool mom. That's really nice. I love that.
Yeah. Well, you have to admit the atmosphere here is very upbeat, and
it
it's
really
not
is.
Really like an office per se, but
oh, there's me.
It is an office, and it is a business, but it doesn't feel that way when you walk through
well,
the
you're
door.
You're working around creative people, people that are doing fun stuff.
Yeah,
you know, and people that are passionate about it. And
very artistic.
There's so many different types of people with different shows. So, yeah, a lot going on.
There is. Each programmer is unique and amazing in their own way, and it's been a real pleasure getting to hear their programs and talk to them and hear about their backgrounds and why they're here and why they feel so passionate. And I've been stunned by some of the members, just how much they've offered to help me and how much they want to support the station and do anything they can do in Petaluma to make it bigger and stronger. And that's why it's going to do something, is because of the members and their passion for it.
So is there, like the Downtown Association, do they have a radio show, or are they interested in doing
something? No, that would be good to have Marie. We had her on once.
We had her on, and I'm just wondering if there'd be interest in doing a weekly or maybe a monthly radio show to talk about what's going on. And
yeah,
I know
it's
we talked
really
about
good idea
events.
Yeah.
But just
it'd be very simple for them to come down and apply for a membership and pay the.
They're not members?
No.
No,
they're
not
producer members. Hmm. There's a producer membership is different from a business membership or a.
I think it would be great to start promoting. Came down last night, I belonged to this literacy group, and we were having a meeting. And so afterwards, the best part of the meeting is we all go out to dinner. And so we went downtown to go out to dinner, and it was packed down there. And that was probably about 7:30. And, you know, so I think there's just a lot going on downtown.
There is a lot going on downtown. I work here on, I do a show on Thursday nights from 7 to 9, and I get here about 6:30, and I cannot find parking on Killer Street. I had to park way up towards the top of the hill to be able to get
well, that's
in.
That's why, I mean, parking downtown was tough, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Huh.
There is a big energy downtown in the evenings.
Yeah.
I've been really, really impressed by it. It's a fun place to be.
Yeah.
There's so much there, and you can do something different every weekend, and you never run out of things to do and places to go.
And then as daylight savings time is approaching, that's going to be even bigger.
Yeah,
of course.
People love to walk around downtown at nighttime.
It's very walkable.
As the weather improves.
Yep.
And, well, I really wish it would rain.
I know.
Some rain. It was kind of odd wearing flip-flops the earlier part of the week.
I
had shorts and flip-flops on.
It's weird. It feels like spring started too early.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. It's not a little
But we don't have the showers. Where's the spring showers?
Well, yeah. I guess we were waiting for April showers.
No, we can't wait for April showers. We need them now. I had to actually go out and water my garden this week.
We have to get the sprinkler system together because, you know, this Coco chewed up part of it. And get it going because...
You still have lawns?
No.
Okay.
No, but you know, the plants have been established for a long time.
Yeah, I have a fajola or fajola or however you pronounce it, but some people call it pineapple guavas. But they're technically a fajola, I guess. And I tried to grow one in my backyard, and I just realized I haven't watered it for a few weeks.
Amazing.
And, so I got to do that.
One thing I learned was waters and gardens... really are symbiotic.
Yeah, you gotta have water. It's pretty much like a life thing, you know. Well, I try to go with, you know, drought-tolerant plants as much as I can. But this is a new plant, so it still hasn't quite rooted.
You'd be established.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the word, established. Huh. Anyway.
Well, it sounds like, I think it's, I'm really happy you're here.
Thank you. I'm really happy.
You seem excited. It seems like you're... assimilating well. How long have you actually had the gig?
Since the 1st of January.
Okay, so not too long.
Not at all.
Wow. So when's the next PCA event?
It's the Lagunitas fundraiser.
Okay.
That we do yearly.
And when's that going to be?
Cindy might know the date. I do not.
It's in May.
It's not for a while.
I believe it's May 12th.
We've got plenty of time to promote that.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it's not in May. But I've started working on it already, and I'm excited about it.
That's cool. Yeah, Lagunitas is great for that.
I just want to make sure that I can walk to Lagunitas.
Well, they have that sidewalk in front of Lagunitas.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, getting to it can be tricky.
It's a problem.
Yeah, we have a lot of work to do to make the city more walkable. We already knew.
Yeah, we already knew.
But we experienced firsthand last week. Was that last week or 2 weeks now?
It was two weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is that people don't get engaged unless there's something by your house or where you live, and then all of a sudden they start getting engaged. But what I'm finding is more people are starting to get engaged.
Yeah.
They're looking at different projects and connecting the dots, which is really important for a community. And so I think it's kind of an exciting time. Because the times, you know, Washington, D.C. are really scary.
Yes, they are. They're terrifying.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I feel like Bill Barr is actually on our city council, you know, barring everything because I have the majority and, you know, calling developers and saying, don't talk to council members anymore. I mean, it's amazing the stuff that you hear what council members are doing. But that is very disturbing.
Yeah.
So do you have plans for this evening, everybody? What are we doing?
I am actually volunteering at the Vagina Monologues event.
It's
at the Kaleidoscope.
Awesome.
Cabaret that is being put on by Rhonda, who is one of our board members. I'm very excited
Rhonda
about
Black.
That.
Cool. Rhonda Black is one
Rhonda
of our board members.
She's the producer and the performing it, correct?
Yes.
Where
is the Kaleidoscope?
It's on Petaluma Boulevard, I believe, and it is a fundraiser for Verity, which is the only rape crisis center in the county. And it's a really, really valuable resource.
Are the tickets... sold out?
They sell at the door.
They sell at the door.
Okay.
Yeah.
What time does it start?
The performance is at 7, I believe, but from 5 to 7, there is a workshop that is going to be doing a discussion, and people are going to be creating postcard-size artwork to support Verity. And then they can donate or take it home. But
what is Verity? I know what it is.
Verity is a rape crisis center that's in Santa Rosa, and it provides services for women and men who have been assaulted. They have support groups. They have counseling. They have court support. They have a lot of different things there. But it's really, really an incredible center, and the people who work there are dynamic and have, you know, dedicated their life to supporting people who have unfortunately experienced these things, and it's so crucial that they have the money to keep going, because obviously, unfortunately, it's something that keeps happening and people are going to continue to need their services. So anyone who can support them, I encourage you to, because they do a really, really fantastic thing for this county.
So where is the venue?
It is the Kaleidoscope Cabaret, which I have not actually been to yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it's by Lucky's on Petaluma Boulevard, is my understanding.
Oh, it's the Lucky's, the old Lucky's?
Old Lucky's.
You mean by the aquarium bar?
By the aquarium bar, which I've been to one time.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yes.
Because I heard of this and I did not know where it was at.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't go over there that often. And I think there's a...
I've not been there either.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So I might pop on by tonight.
Yeah, it is. It's, it should be a great show and a great workshop if people can make it at 5.
Oh, that would be great. I think Caitlin Quinn, does she work for Verde?
Yes, she does.
Yeah. And she's our school board member, youngest school board member.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting. I want to also mention that Verity is not just for a rape crisis, but it's for intimate partner violence.
Yes. Right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. But I do want to shout out to Caitlin. I hear that the school board is really working well together, and they're really positive. And so I think it was probably a really good change that our school board happened in the last election.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you will... Have you met Caitlin Quinn?
I have not.
You may be seeing her tonight.
More than likely.
Yeah.
More than likely.
Oh, that's great.
What are you doing tonight, Jason?
I was trying to still figure that out, actually.
Oh,
what?
Hopefully Tunde isn't listening.
She'll probably hear it at some point. Well, she already knows.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, if you do the same thing every year, then the person, other person knows.
Yeah.
Well,
which is what? Nothing?
No. No, we went to, I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's a restaurant, Pongo?
Oh, Pongo's.
Pongo's, yeah. Yeah, we went there last year and the year before, and it was quite good.
So the East Side Shopping Center, where Safeway is
locally owned.
Yes.
No, not where Safeway. Oh, yeah. You're right.
Right next door to Starbucks.
Yeah, you're right. I think of that at G&G
Store. Right, exactly.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing that was cool is they had a guitarist. He called himself a progressive flamenco player or something like that. It's like flamenco acoustic, but pop. So he'll do like pop songs, but with like flamenco stylings on a classical guitar. And he uses a looper, and so he'll play a part and then, you know, play solos on it. But you'll be listening to it, it's like, oh, what's this? And you realize, oh, it's Kashmir by Led Zeppelin. and there's no vocals, it's just him, but he's able to play with himself because he has a looper pedal. But we did that last year and the year before, and it was great. And so I might do that again if it's even happening. I don't know.
Pongo's is great. It's locally owned by a husband and wife, and they have amazing food, and they have live music, and they're huge chamber members, and they're very supportive of the community. I would encourage anyone to go there.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I haven't checked to see for sure if they're doing the same thing.
But you can go anyway.
But it'd be nice if it's the same thing, because the guitarist was great, and we had a good time, and we did it 2 times in a row, and she was happy, so it's like a formula that'll...
Oh,
I have so much to think about, you know? It's hard.
I don't really like the idea of these Hallmark cards costing $5 and $6. You know, I go to Trader Joe's. The cards are $1.
Oh, you get the flowers, you get the chocolate, you get the, and it's all there, you know? I know, I suck, don't I?
Yeah. That's why we're luring this out of you to find out what you're really doing, Jason.
I don't even really acknowledge the holidays, so I suck more than you.
I'm not that great, I have to say.
Sorry.
I'm spending the evening with my fitness trainer at the gym.
Beautiful. So, what a date.
Yeah. It's not exactly a date. A date with a couple of barbells, I guess.
That's my dream date.
Did you? I'm looking at the newspaper right now. Updated 22 minutes ago. There's a story about fast-tracked affordable housing maybe coming to Panama. Did you see this?
Yeah.
So this is kind of a mixed blessing. It's a controversial state bill that fast-tracks affordable housing construction will soon impact some Petaluma developments. State Bill 35, which went into effect in 2018, was introduced by Assemblyman Scott Wiener. It gives affordable housing developments an opportunity to blaze past numerous steps and processes, accelerating construction significantly for eligible projects. And here's the kicker, but the state-mandated process for such developments also circumvents elements of local control, a source of concern for some local municipalities, including Petaluma. So the challenge with this is, these might be good in terms of affordability, but are we going to shortcut the environmental review process?
Well, I don't know if you're going to shortcut that, but I think the city of Petaluma has not done a great job with affordable housing in the last years.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it's almost like the state is having to mandate this.
Yeah, because
the city is, you know, here we have two projects, you know, competing, which is the Corona project for the smart station. And there's a deal that they're trying to do that they have to do a swap with to do a downtown housing by this downtown station. And then the Lomas is saying, well, we're going to go ahead and do a low income. We don't want it downtown, and we're going to put it down by the roundabout on Petaluma Boulevard. And so it's things like that that the city is not really doing a great job of making sure that low income and regular people, the regular, are integrating together, because sometimes you start up as low income, but, you know, you are still doing the same jobs, and you're going to be moving up in your life. And low income just means that I can't afford $3,000 or $2,000 a month rent in Petaluma.
So the state law
mandates
that local jurisdictions that have not achieved regional housing need goals, or RHNA, must provide the accelerated process in order to expedite and encourage affordable housing construction across the state. Proposed developments in Petaluma must meet a number of requirements to use the new process, including offering at least 50% of proposed units at an affordable rate. But here's the thing. Unlike the standard process used to assess development, the law's review framework notably exempts review under California Environmental Quality Act standards and do not typically require public notification and hearings. Because the city has not met its RHNA affordable housing goals, developers are able to invoke the SB 35 process. So this is a little concerning.
Well, being a elitist community is concerning for me.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't say no to everything, but you do want responsible development. So, I mean, as long as we're talking about the right kind of development and it's done in the right places, but that's a little bit concerning that the environmental review could be pulled out.
Well, we've been seeing environmental reviews in Petaluma, and the documents are not well done. They leave a lot of information out, and so I'd like to actually see environmental reviews taken more seriously.
Well, and
looking at the bigger picture, not just project by project.
And this do not typically require public notification and hearings, so it's just going to happen.
Really?
It seems like we're getting a spanking for not approving the housing.
Let's play the devil's advocate on that. Yeah. The downtown project across from where Dempsey's is, that shopping center, people were so angry that was going to be a low-income housing because we don't want those people downtown. This is what people would say. So that project has been built. I believe that it's been successful. And so I think what they're talking about is if you have a piece of land, there's a piece of land like across the street from St. Vincent's Church, and there's one house on there that has quite a bit of condos or apartments in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's broken up. Something like that, I think, would be a benefit for housing because it's close to downtown. If you don't have to go through, like, heavy environmental reviews, because what's going to happen is the neighborhood's going to get together and say, we don't want those people here, and you know what all the issues are going to be. It's going to be traffic. It's going to be blah, 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 blah. You just know what they're going to be. Mm-hmm. But if you put it in a different area, they'll be silenced. They don't really care. So I think it's really about integrating people in a community and making sure that the elitists don't have access to the smart train, and people that don't have the money don't have the same access to public transportation.
Those
and
are the people who need the public transportation.
And those are our children. I mean, those are the people that are going to college right now, and they're starting off at a minimum wage, and then they're going to go ahead and find their niche and go into a career.
So there is
hoping.
Exactly.
The article does mention that both MidPen Housing and Burbank Housing, that are two affordable housing developers with development history in Petaluma, pledged to keep their process transparent despite relaxed requirements over public forums and planning commission hearings. Well, so that's nice that they're saying that.
In the Corona discussion, they came in there and they're supporting going ahead and putting low-income housing out Petaluma Boulevard, mm-hmm. where people do not have access to public transportation. Mm. And so I think it was really inappropriate that they were working with the developer.
Somebody's phone keeps going.
I'm sorry.
I thought I'd shut it off. And so I think it's really, you want to take people at their word, but it's concerning. And if you don't go to meetings, you don't know what's going on.
So right now, there's not yet an application from a developer for the new state-mandated process. So there's going to be more conversation about how to incorporate public input.
Well, just quickly, you know, when we talk about the stationary plan downtown, mm-hmm. you can go up to 5 stories. And I feel as though that the first project that they approved was only 4 stories, right next to a rail station. Mm-hmm. And so I do want to see some mandates when it comes to housing by a rail station. And I feel like the city is, the stationary plan might be a little bit outdated because now you have a train. But yet the council, we have a stationary plan, we're going to stick to it, but so go to 5 stories instead of 4. That's all.
There's another article that I think is kind of interesting, if we have time to talk about. Petaluma vegan food company Miyoko's Creamery sues California in labeling dispute.
Yeah, I saw this.
And this is kind of an interesting thing, you know, with a lot of these vegan alternatives. Obviously, the way they're marketing it is they want to target the customer that would be getting what they're an alternative for, in this case, butter. So they want to call their product butter, but I guess the dairy, people in the dairy industry probably are upset because they're calling their product something that it's not. So that's interesting. Petaluma plant-based dairy alternative producer recently ordered by California officials to stop using the word butter on its product labels and take down images of cows on its website. They're fighting the directive in court, claiming the company's free speech rights are being violated.
Huh.
This is interesting.
Well, you know, I just bought some of the butter at Costco. Uh-huh. And I was pretty clear that it was vegan because it's 7. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't confused at what I was buying. I haven't tried it yet because I like butter. But, you know, I really want to try it and I'll give you my opinion next week.
So this is
this is a dairy association.
No, that's exactly.
So it's similar with milk, with oat milk, almond milk. They don't want us to be milk.
The most significant was warning against potentially misbranding products as butter, since a plant-based dairy alternative does not meet the federal definition as a food exclusively made from milk or cream.
Well, you remember that discussion that, I don't know, maybe it's still out there, I can't believe it's not butter.
Right.
How did they get away with it?
So it says, instead, the Petaluma company should be advertising its product solely as cashew cream fermented from live cultures rather than cultured vegan butter.
I don't think there's any confusion. It says vegan butter.
I was not confused when I bought it at Costco. I wasn't. And then I just bought some, actually, cheese. You know,
this is, I think this is pretty sad because I think what this is really is the dairy industry. I don't know if you've been looking at it, but they've been losing money.
Companies
have been going bankrupt. Yeah. It's been a lot of consolidation. And why is that? Mm-hmm. Because people are choosing not to intake as much of that stuff because they're finding that it's not healthy. And
a lot of people are becoming dairy intolerant, too.
That, too. Exactly. Exactly. But all that food pyramid stuff that we were told a long time ago about,
Growing up, it turns out
not to be particularly healthy, and turns out to be pretty much developed in cahoots with the industry that had a vested interest.
Well, you know, it's interesting because everybody kind of went organic in the county, mm-hmm. and there is really a glut of organic milk. Yeah. And so if you buy, say, an example like Lucerne milk, Lucerne is actually clover milk, and a lot of the clover milk, there's such an excess, I believe they are incorporating the organic milk in with just regular milk.
Really?
Yeah. And so sometimes you're actually getting organic product, but they can't say it's organic. There's something going on in the dairy business, and I think it would be better if you work together with the non-dairy, because you're trying to achieve the same goal. And people are becoming more intolerant, as you're saying. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going away from dairy. And I think we need to acknowledge that that is what's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing about not having a picture of a cow on it, that seems kind of bizarre. I mean, no one who looks at the package is going to be confused. And you could make a justification to have a cow because the cow's happier because they don't have a milk machine on it. I don't know.
Let's not get into farming we don't know anything about.
What about non-dairy creamer? You can call that cream, but
right.
It's not cream.
Right, right.
Well, there's, I mean,
they're just,
I they're
think
trying
that
to
now bring. That with the milk and the butter, these non-dairy alternatives are getting a piece of the market to the extent that the dairy industry is panicking. So at this point, they're going to lash out because they have to.
It's a $6.4 billion a year industry, the dairy industry.
I mean, I don't use dairy products, but my boys definitely do. So I buy vegan butter and, you know, cashew milk for myself. Yeah, and then I buy a gallon of whole milk every other day. So, I mean, I support both of them, but I do see that there's more and more options that I now want to try or buy because the things that I ingest are suddenly
and we should have more.
We should have options. Exactly.
Well, especially if they're better for the planet.
Well, just people should have options.
Yes, they should. Yeah. The animal activists also that are
take it too far sometimes.
I like a big slab of animals in a while, right?
That's the standards we're talking about. But, yeah.
But there's good points to be made. I mean, there's a lot of farming that isn't done sustainably. There's a lot of animals that aren't dealt with humanely. And there's a lot of alternatives that are becoming more and more palatable. It used to be eating vegan meant, oh, there's no flavor. And I mean, I have a couple friends of mine were with me in New York. And we went to a vegan place, and they stopped at the door and they said, no, we can't go in there. It's vegan. I'm like, what? Why? What do you mean? You can eat it. It's like, yeah, but I'm not vegan. I'm like, yeah, but you can still eat this.
No,
I don't think it's going to be good.
They loved it.
And it's so because their expectation was that it was going to be bland.
Just a shout out for the family farmer.
Yeah.
I mean, they really do care about their farms. They care about their animals.
Yeah. Sure.
And so I don't want to make it sound like, they're not good stewards of the land or their animals, because a lot of them are, and a lot of them, and some aren't. But I don't want to make it a blanket statement, because family farming is important.
Yes.
They're not the ones concerned about vegan butter having a cow on it.
They're
right. Very different.
And they're not the ones packing cows into tiny
spaces. No, they're not.
I think we should get, we had gone to the company, what's it called, Miyoko's.
Yeah. We accidentally fell into that.
We accidentally, because we were going out to lunch.
It's an amazing company.
Yeah, I mean, it really is.
Product.
We'll certainly get them on and have this conversation
and
maybe have somebody from the dairy industry and having this, at the same time.
That would be very interesting. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting story. And I'm sure we're going to be hearing more and more about things like this. I heard something similar about them not wanting to call these impossible burgers, because they're not actual burgers. They're not hamburgers.
There's turkey burgers. There's
salmon burgers.
Chicken burgers.
I know.
Veggie burgers.
Things change. You know, models change. People's preferences change.
I think the dairy business is really changing.
Industries
rapidly.
Have to change to catch up with it.
Yeah. And they're not catching up with it.
No.
And, you put a lot of, we have two different companies in Petaluma. One is very sustainable.
Yeah.
They are zero waste. And the other one is more free market.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's two different
models. Do you want to identify those?
I don't think I need to.
One of them named Strauss.
Yeah, I mean Strauss.
And the other one's named Clover.
Yes.
And we can do the math and figure it out.
Yeah. And, Strauss Dairy, they came into the business to be sustainable.
Hmm.
When their parents immigrated from, quote, the old country, I think they're Dutch, Mrs. Strauss was really instrumental in malt in Marin County. She was one of the leaders that created that.
She was.
Yeah. And so, and they have, and the family has continued with sustainability, and they are just, they're getting better and better and better and growing all the time because people want to make sure that what they're purchasing is sustainable and they're purchasing from companies that have like values.
Yeah.
So.
What a concept.
Yeah, exactly. And so we should get Albert Strauss on. Maybe I'll stop by and ask him. I'd like to get him on.
All right. We'll wait until we get our committee together before we start inviting people. Anyway, that said, we're running out of time, as usual.
Yeah.
And we've been talking with Jenny Bellway, who's our executive director here at Petaluma Community Access. And
welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me on here. This was interesting.
yeah.
You can critique us later.
I like that you all have something interesting to say.
Well, we think.
Whether if it's of value or not.
It's
valuable. I think we need to start getting a call in. Because people are asking if they can call in.
We're supposed to do that.
Okay, well, let's expect you can call in next week. And I did put the phone number for the studio on the Facebook page, so.
I'm going to be the first call. Can I call in myself?
I'll turn my phone back on.
All right, y'all. Happy Valentine's Day. And we'll see you again next week. We're here every Thursday from 11 to noon. Our Facebook page, KPTA Inside Petaluma, and our website, InsidePetaluma.com, where you can listen to our archives at any time. And until next Friday, see you then.
Yeah.
All right.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
You too.
Bye. Thank you.